Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
Melissa was telling us about a story yesterday. It was front page on the AJC yesterday about this tool in Virginia. That there's a high school band up in Prince William County, Hilton High School, and I guess they're going to be playing at the Peach Bowl.
Peach Bowl, right. And so they were trying to find a song that was appropriate to play here in Atlanta at the Peach Bowl. And so the song that they chose that they thought would be cool is The Devil Went Down to Georgia by Charlie Daniels Band.
And he came out and he said, I have no idea why anybody would okay a song like that that focuses on the devil and it seems like a conflict of interest between church and state or something
like
that.
Yeah, there's a guy that wrote an article in the local newspaper up there in Virginia about that, and it freaked the band out so much. And the band director, he wanted to protect the children from criticism in their town that they decided not to perform that song when they come to Atlanta.
So this whack job, right, like Melissa says, gets total policy changed because he feels like it's such an offensive song, or just that church and state, there should be no conflict there. I don't see it.
Oh, with a song that's like 30 years old.
Right.
Right.
That a lot of young people probably don't even know.
That in the end of the song, the devil loses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
good wins over evil.
Right.
Yeah. If you have a fiddle made of gold, it doesn't matter.
this is like his insignificant soapbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all pretty much have one of these. And I want to give you the opportunity to vent yours.
Right.
Like when you tell people what bothers you, like what your insignificant soapbox is, they kind of look at you and they go, that's it? What is it about that possibly upsets you?
Right.
You know? But all of us have one of these really quirky things that just annoys us.
Mm-hmm.
But we almost keep it to ourselves now because we know the reaction that we're going to get from other people, you know? So I want to give you the opportunity to tell us what your insignificant soapbox is. 404-741-1005. For me, and I know I'm going to be offending some kind of sponsor here, BMW drivers. I've been cut off by a couple probably when I first started driving. And now I have just got a thing against any BMW that is on the road with me. Like if you try merging and you're in a BMW to me, I won't let you in.
Oh, but if you were driving like Melissa's car, the Volkswagen.
Come right in.
Come on over.
Yeah. And I think that they are just the rudest drivers. BMW drivers set me off.
That's very insignificant soapbox.
If I was the governor of Purdue, I would outlaw BMWs in the state of Georgia.
I have, Jessica and I share this one, and it's dangerous because we go to so many things together. But, and this is something that I think everybody can legitimately be angry at, but I think we get unreasonably upset at people who sit in the wrong seats intentionally at events.
Any event, like Braves game, Thrashers game, whatever,
sit
concert.
In your seats. Sit in your seats. Nothing will make me feel worse because I'm so obsessive about it that if I accidentally sit in like the wrong seats, like if I, you know, or if I sit, you know, if it's like the wrong row or whatever. But people, and there was a recent event where we went and we sat and the guy was sure that we were in the wrong seats and he legitimately made a mistake, but he was such an a-hole about it and he was just going off. It legitimately ruined the first 30 minutes of the concert.
I'll tell you why I can't do that, because I sit there in a constant state of anxiety wondering if the people that I know, these are legitimate, their seats, are going to come at any time. It's the same thing when I'm flying. Like if I take a seat that I know is not mine, I'm sitting there in such an anxious state, fear that the next person coming on is going to take their seat. And there's such relief when the door finally closes that, I get to sit at the window.
But like my thought is, if it's at a concert, wait 30 minutes. Like, you know, because people run late.
Give them a chance
traffic.
To get there.
If it's a ball game, wait till the third inning or the end of the first quarter. Then move down. And if I get there after that and you're in my seat, I don't think I would be legitimately mad. I think I would actually apologize and go, I'm sorry, I was stuck in traffic. I missed the whole first quarter of the Falcons game or whatever. But if it's as soon as the concert begins and, like, you're getting situated, get your ass out of my seat, punk.
Beth, what is your insignificant soapbox?
they let those people with those little bitty dogs into the stores because they say they can't really do anything because they're not on the floor.
Right.
So can I buy one of those baby things and strap my German Shepherd to the front of me?
Thank you. I'm with you.
That should be fair, right?
I agree with you.
That is so funny. Agreed.
Anybody that walks around with those little itty bitty dogs in that little itty bitty dog cage or underneath their arms as they're walking through Lenox or Phipps, mm-hmm. that's another one. It just drives me
dogs
crazy.
In the purse.
Dog in the purse.
Dog in the purse.
Can I give you one more thing?
Yeah.
Why do they sell such loud food at the movie theater? They sell juju beans, and everybody's going to get one juju bean at a time, and they dip
That's
it back
great.
Up.
That's fantastic.
And then they get one juju bean again, and they dip it up. And the popcorn, crunch, crunch, crunch.
That's
crunch,
perfect.
Crunch.
Now, that's, fine. See, now that's...
That's fantastic.
That's remember a great the woman,
we did this last year, and remember the girl who was mad at the guy who would rake off the infield at Turner Field, but then walk across where he just raked? Do you remember that girl?
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember. I found out this year that they actually changed the way they raked the field last year because somebody heard that.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, all you had to do was just stop on the grass instead of stopping. They used to stop on the inside, they'd stop on the outside.
Is funny.
She used to get annoyed that when they would run out and do the thing, they would rake it. Then he would pick his rake up and run across where he just raked, leaving like 4 footprints, and it drove her freaking nuts.
404-741-1005.
This is an appropriate one because we're into the holiday season, but one of my insignificant soapboxes is the fact there is a progression of holidays. There is Halloween, and then there's Thanksgiving, and then there's Christmas. So if you put out your Christmas items in department stores and drugstores on, let's say, October 15th,
you're right.
Guess what? You need to wait until Thanksgiving weekend to put out your Christmas stuff and not do it like as early as July.
Nobody does that anymore, though.
Have you noticed the tree going up on top of Northside?
No, they do that. I know. I was in a department store a few weeks ago, and they're already doing their Christmas displays.
I'll tell you, Jeff tipped me off to this yesterday, right? So I'm a little bit like Christmas conscious right now. And as I'm flipping through channels last night, just watching a couple of, just trying to fall asleep, Bad Santa is on 3 different stations. It's not even Halloween.
Halloween. Put your scary movies on now. Put your costume commercials on. But leave Christmas until after Thanksgiving.
My insignificant soapbox is people who park over the parking line, or they park close to the parking spot line far enough that you can't get into that other space. Because it feels like to me that I'm always going places that is tight on parking. Like I shop in Decatur a lot, so there's not a ton of parking down there. I go to Virginia Highlands a lot, Midtown a lot. And so there's not a ton of parking in those spaces. So you're always feeling like, especially in the Highlands, I feel like always fighting for somewhere to park. Mm-hmm. And when someone crosses the line, I get extraordinarily ticked off that they have gone so close to it that you can't fit in that space, and it is a wasted parking space. I
agreed.
Get more mad about that than anything else I can think of.
Let me add to one that's sort of like that also, and this is almost a keyable offense, is when like somebody's got like a new hot sports car and it's like a $120,000 car, mm-hmm. and they purposely park it in 2 spots.
Yes.
Because they don't want anybody close to their car. They don't want any dings. Yeah. I'm not endorsing it. It's almost a keyable offense.
Yeah. It's true.
Agreed.
Good morning. You're on all the hits, Q100.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling because my biggest thing is people who have very fast cars and they're driving Miss Daisy. They get in front of you, they're doing 10 miles an hour in a 65, and you know they've got a Hemi under the hood. You're like, so fast, what is wrong with you?
That's true.
It's a very good soapbox.
Morning, Chris. Your insignificant soapbox.
I think people that use the checkbooks, especially in supermarkets.
Yeah. Checkbooks drive me crazy now.
Why?
You break out that checkbook and you can hear everybody in line go, oh!
Yes. And if you're going to do the checkbook thing, okay, fine, but have that check filled out except for the amount before you ever get, because you know where you are. You know what store you're in.
You know how to spell Kroger.
Yeah, prepare before you get to the check.
And don't balance your checkbook right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fill that out when you're sitting in your car or something. Don't fill that out right there in line while everybody else is waiting.
And let me add to that, ladies, and this is ladies in particular, especially older ladies. If you have a purse and it's a very complicated process to put your credit card back into the billfold, back into the purse, back into whatever, scoot down so I can start checking out so you can get that done. But once you finish your transaction, you don't have 30 minutes to sit there to organize your purse before you leave.
It's the same thing with the money machine. If the drive-up money machine, get your cash.
Agreed.
Pull your cash in the car, then pull up 10 feet so I can start my transaction rather than stay there and cash and count your money so I can't pull up.
Right.
Same thing.
Here's what I hate, and this is this is kind of twofold. It involves retail clerks. One, here's the deal. When I'm at the counter checking out or checking prices or whatever, not at a grocery store, but like at a, you know, clothing store, mm-hmm. I got my shirt and my socks on the counter and I'm checking out and she's ringing them up and we're engaging in the usual department store small talk. Would you like to open a credit card? No, I don't need one. Thanks. Are you sure you don't want to open a credit card? You can save 10%. No, I really don't need one. Don't come up behind me and ask her a question that involves her doing something else besides, like if you say, can you point me in the direction of the shoes?
Right.
That's fine. Don't hand her something and say, can you tell me how much this is?
Yeah.
Because she'll probably take it, turn around and check it. So I have two problems. One, the jerk who said, yep. Can you tell me how much this is? And two, you're waiting on me now.
Right.
That person can wait in line.
Agreed.
And along with that, if I'm in front of you, don't be on the phone.
Speak it, brother.
Don't even answer the phone.
Right.
I'm your customer right here, so pick up the phone and say, hey, can you please hold? I'm fine with that. But anything else, you should be kicked in the eye.
Jeff, good morning. You're on All the Hits Q100. Hi.
Hey, what's up? I got one. People who become the best drivers in the world just because a cop happens to be 30 feet behind them.
Yeah, well, that one doesn't bother me if the cop is behind you because I think you're trying to avoid a ticket. But if there's
even if they're in front of you, I mean, all a cop has to do is be near you, and all of a sudden you're 10 and 2, your seatbelt is 100% fastened, you're looking in every mirror, you're adjusting everything, all because he happens to be there. Just drive.
Well, that I would agree with this. Like, if you're on 285 and there's a cop on, you're going westbound, and there's a cop eastbound, no need for you to slam on your brakes. He's not behind you. There's no imminent danger.
And if a cop has already pulled somebody over, if he is already on the emergency lane with somebody else, he's not going to get you.
Yes.
You don't slam on your brakes because you saw the cop get out of his car giving a ticket to somebody, and all of a sudden you think the cop's going to turn around, see you, and jump in his car and follow you.
I hate the people who slam on their brakes at the sight of a cop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take your foot off the gas, but don't slam on your brakes.
Barbara.
Yes.
Insignificant soapbox.
I think this is the most insignificant one I've heard. I cannot stand businesses who spell their name wrong on purpose.
Like house, H-A-U-S, you mean?
I can barely go to Quick Trip, but I need gas, so I go there.
Like the, like a comedy club called the Laugh Factory, L-A-F-F, or the... you know, the restaurant, the Country Kitchen, KOUNTRYKITCHEN.
I've got a problem with spelling in Old English.
Random Old English?
Yeah, S-H-O-P-P-E. Look, you're in this country.
Yeah.
All right? It's not S-H-O-P-P-E.
And it's not O-L-D-E for
if it sells Christmas ornaments, does it have to be written in Old English?
I don't know.
Like, why can you have, like, a Halloween store, but ye old Christmas shop? And it's ye oldie Christmas shoppy. You idiot. You don't know how to spell?
Now I'm starting to think of so many others. Like, on 400, you know what? You know where the toll booth is, and you know where the cruise card is. You live in this city for 10 years, but for some reason, you're in the far left lane. You don't have your cruise card. You slam on your brakes and block everybody trying to get to the toll booth.
Yeah, that is the most dangerous 100 yards of roadway in Atlanta, is the 100 yards that lead up to any toll.
I am automatically annoyed by people named Philip. That name bugs me.
Philip?
Philip. Phil, I'm okay with, but Philip just weirds me out. Like, if you're named Philip, you just weird me out. In Nicole with an H. Nick Hole. If you're Nick Hole.
Deborah with an H at the end. That kind of annoys me.
No, I'm okay with, oh, yeah. Like
with the O in the middle, Deborah.
Deborah.
The Bert Show.
I'm at the base of the stairs, and, you know, like at the meridian, you know, like Katie was talking about, which is kind of like the system where your nervous system. So probably going up this up these stairs, I'm going to try to tap my hands where my meridians are. But I'm walking up. Phil's in front of me, so we're capturing pictures for those of you who love to see Melissa in misery.
Wow. This meridian thing you're talking about, there's just a nerve in your hand that controls your anxiety?
Well, it's almost like, I think it's just almost like pulse points, but for the nervous system. And I think when you tap it, it's almost like a distraction. Like to me, the tapping is what kind of shakes me out of my fear. Okay, now I'm walking up the platform.
How do you feel right now? Are you nervous? Are you as nervous as you thought you would be? Are you having any kind of anxiety at all?
I'm going up here? Oh, God. sorry. I'm going higher than I thought. I am a little anxious. My palms are still sweaty. My feet are actually sweaty. Oh, God. I'm on the platform.
I'm squatting because I see Atlanta and it's beautiful, but I have to stand to see how high I am. So hold on. You see my breath get heavier? Okay, I'm standing.
So you can see Atlanta, and you're on one platform, and you have to walk up a ladder to get to another platform?
No, I'm on the top now.
Oh, you went up the ladder?
I went up the ladder as I was talking, so I was trying to help distract myself, and my heart is racing.
Come on, let's go.
But I'm okay. I'm better than I thought I would be. But I'm walking closer to, now, when I say closer to the edge, I'm not going closer to the edge of the building, just this platform.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is, looking straight out is beautiful, but looking closer to me, my heart race is a little faster. My, it's almost like the blood flow to my extremities is leaving, so my hands are cold, my feet are cold, my nose is cold, like, my breath is hard to get, because I'm inching as I'm talking toward the edge of this platform, which, again, is about, how far, 8 feet from the edge of the building, or... Maybe, you know, a little less than 20 feet from the edge of the Westin.
Okay, you are 74 floors up.
Yeah, well, probably 70.
Yeah, more than that, because I had to climb stairs from the 74th floor.
And as you go out that platform, is that where there's a wall? Like, you can't see over that? Or
I can see over the wall now.
You can see over
so
the wall.
So I'm looking at Atlanta. I'm actually looking at the Georgia Dome edge of the Westin. The more I talk about it, the more my legs are losing feeling, and I am, like, dead, standing still on this platform.
Come here.
How far are you now?
It feels over on the edge.
How far are you now from the edge?
From the edge of the platform. Again, I'm sorry I'm not explaining myself very well.
That's
but
right.
On the top of the Westin, about 10 feet in from the edge of the entire hotel is the wall that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And then about another... 6 to 8 feet in from that is the platform. So I'm 20 feet away from the edge of the building, so I'm safe. But in my mind knows that, but my heart is like, no, you're not.
Do you feel stretching yourself enough where you want to go from 20 feet to 10 feet?
Well, I'm inching. I'm trying because right now the thing that's keeping me is I can see the Equitable Building, which has been far beneath me.
Oh,
so I see the word Equitable looking at me, and I'm just kind of like, that's what's...
Melissa, what's that line from Titanic? They're out in front of the ship.
Oh, God.
I'm king of the world.
Yeah.
I'm king of the world.
I'm queen of Atlanta. And it really is a bigger, more powerful, clearer signal because I'm touching it. Atlanta's beautiful, no doubt, but it's the thing is, looking straight out, again, I could, you know, when I'm looking out toward the suburbs, beautiful. Looking into the dome, Equitable, Georgia Pacific building, whew, I have to walk back.
How
I can't
far
go to the
down
edge.
Can you see? When you are looking sort of down, can you see any sort of cars, traffic, anything? Uh-oh, is she gone?
I think we lost her. For whatever reason,
the phone line dropped out.
Yeah.
Okay, that freaks me out. That's making my heart race right now.
Well, you would have, I mean, if something happened, we would have heard a shriek before.
I know,
that.
But it's just enough because I think everybody has a miniature fear of heights, at
Absolutely.
Least. And, you know, I mean, I definitely am empathizing with her. And I can tell you are too. Your mouth is dry.
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
I get freaked out. Like, I watch Fear Factor and I watch those challenges where they're like at the Grand Canyon or whatever, or their big pit, and they have to walk on some kind of steel girder or something, like 30 feet or 50 feet. I get nauseous watching that. There's no way I could pull that off. Hey, Melissa, how close to that edge are you now?
To the edge of the platform, probably, what, 6 feet, 7 feet, and I'm inching on my rear over toward it. Like I was saying earlier, I am taller than any of the buildings here. I'm taller than the Georgia Pacific building. The more I talk about it, the more I'm losing my breath. Like I'm looking at things I recognize, and I guess it's my mind absorbing the fact of how high I am because I see, I see the dome, I see the Georgia Pacific building, the Capitol. But you know what? The more I'm up here, the more panicked I'm getting.
Melissa, you know, like you got like one crack at this to, you know, to rehabilitate yourself in any way you can. I just don't want to make it dangerous for you. So go if you're done now and you think your work is done and that you've like. At least a little bit overcome your fear, then get out of there. If you feel like you got more work to do, then go closer.
All right, I'll go. I'm determined to get to the edge of the platform. I'm scooting on my butt. I'm about 4-3 feet away. yeah, I couldn't walk it. Because the thing is, I started feeling lightheaded. My stomach got, so to speak. So I'll get to the edge of the platform. Oh, God.
Are you going to stand up?
I can't guarantee that. I can say I did and not do it. Just kidding. Yeah, this is as far as I can go. I'm about a foot from the edge, sitting on my butt.
Can you get to the edge to where, like, your feet are dangling over the edge?
Yeah, no. I don't think I can do it, guys.
It's only 12 inches.
All right. Scooting.
It's only 12 inches. Now it's
six
only
six. More.
3 inches.
Oh, gosh. I got 1 foot. The edge is at my calf. Okay. Oh, God. All right. Okay, so I have one leg dangling over the edge. The other is kind of like crossed. I'm not completely petrified, but my stomach is nervous. It's funny how the more nervous I get, the more it's almost like the extremities thing where my legs are cold, my arms are cold, my head's a little lightheaded, and I think it's like it's not quite vertigo like I thought I would get, but sensation I have right now is what keeps me from doing stuff because it's literally paralyzing.
So from where you are right now, like you're on the edge, and then is the ladder in the center or is it on the other edge?
Actually, what I'm on is a big round platform in the center of the roof. So the tower is behind me.
But where's the ladder that will take you down to that walled terrace, like the first?
Johnny, how far do you think that the stairs are? About 20 feet away.
So can you stand up where you are and walk back to the ladder?
All right. I'm standing up. Probably have tar all over me.
Is Phil getting a picture?
I'm standing up.
You got to let Phil take a picture of you right on the edge.
You just do what you have to do. If you want to get out of there, get out.
He's not here, so I'm not... I'm good. Johnny held out his arm as a gentleman, but I'm not taking it. Damn it, I'm doing this. All right. So I'm looking over. I'll look one more time. Wave at the Equitable Building, which is way farther down from me. And I'm walking toward the stairs. And I'm walking. Atlanta is a beautiful city, no doubt. Walking to the stairs. And as the closer to the stairs I get, the more calm I am.
Because you're getting away from the edge, sure.
So, yeah, it's that, you know, that edge and looking down and seeing seeing how high I am. But
you did it.
I did it.
You did it.
I mean, you know, the caller called in talking about, and I forgot what the initials were for the, you know, Katie and Meridians and that kind of thing. But that really did help. I mean, she wasn't kidding. Because I think it's just a matter of, you know, your own fear is so powerful, but it is so fragile. And, you know, it can be easily, you can distract yourself from it. It's just your mind is your worst enemy at stuff like this. Mm. Like I said, when I was analyzing the buildings and recognizing the buildings and realizing the only perspective I have of those buildings is from the ground looking up at them and looking down at them, that's when I started thinking, oh, my God, I've never looked down at these buildings. Oh, my God, I'm high up. You know, the whole process of panic. And, you know, that's just the thing I have to get over. But I'm going to conquer this. I told Katie I would love to get to the point someday where I actually, like, parasail or, you know, jump out of a plane or something because I don't want this to control my life anymore.
Well, you're certainly on your way. I mean, you did it. Yeah, you did it.
Yeah, well,
you
did it,
Melissa. You did it. Congratulations.
Woo! 1 minute you're laughing. The next minute you're crying. The Burt Show on all the hits Q100. The Burt Show.
Producer Tracy.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm good.
You seem like you've lost your sense of humor this morning. You okay today?
Yeah.
We're off schedule.
No. That's like looking at somebody and going, you look sick. Yeah. Are you sick? No, like
are you feeling okay today?
No, she generally is like real like smiley. She walked in today and you just seem a little bit more tense than usual. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just didn't know why I was coming in here until 2 seconds ago.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was a little confused.
A little worried.
You look like you didn't brush your hair at all today. Have you brushed your hair?
Uh-huh. Do I look tired, too?
Yeah.
Sick, maybe?
And sick. Have you lost weight? The bags in your eyes are huge. Are your teeth rotting? Is that a glass eye?
No, I'm fine.
Is that your right hand, or do you have a hook?
Cool. Thanks for coming in. Really don't need you for anything.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
I'll tell you where we're going to go with this is a philosophical debate that producer Tracy and her boyfriend Scott had, but it all stems from being in this period that they're going out with each other, they're committed to each other, but it's not officially a commitment. And that's why there's always so much gray area in these kind of relationships, because you never really know what goes and what doesn't.
Sure. You're totally blowing this out of proportion.
No, I don't think I'm blowing anything out of proportion yet.
It was just a lighthearted conversation. It wasn't a philosophical debate or anything that stemmed from any kind of insecurity or anything.
All right, you set it up.
Okay, my friend Maggie met this guy at Smyrnabration. It was just, you know, she was talking to him for like 45 minutes, which meant that I kind of had to entertain his friends for about 45 minutes too. So I was totally her wingwoman. After these guys left, apparently there was some debate as to whether or not I had a boyfriend.
A philosophical debate.
No, not philosophical. No philosophical. There was just some debate as to whether or not I had a boyfriend, because apparently I didn't make it clear enough to them. Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't say it right away.
The guys had this debate and told Maggie, and Maggie told you?
Yes.
Okay.
And Maggie happened to tell me when Scott was there. And Scott was like, you didn't tell him you had a boyfriend? And I'm like, well, I thought I did, but I just, you don't want to say it too soon. You know, you don't want to walk up to somebody and say, hey, I have a boyfriend, and then continue the conversation.
Do you know what the proper response would have been for a woman in your position? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they would have noticed the engagement ring on my... Oh, never mind.
Right. So his question to me was, well, how soon would you want me to tell a girl that I have a girlfriend? Mm-hmm. And I jokingly said, right away. As soon as you meet them, like, you know, you're in the checkout line, I want the lady at the checkout line to know that you have a girlfriend. You know, the server walks up, I want her to know you have a girlfriend. And I was joking.
Here, wear this t-shirt. Says, yeah, I have a girlfriend.
I'm taken.
So I thought it would be funny to find out what would happen if you walked every time you walked up to somebody, the first thing out of your mouth was, just want to let you know, but I have a girlfriend.
Which is really the assignment that we sent Phil Taran on yesterday. So we're going to hear that in just a second. But I think that if you were doing like a study, like a psychological study, I think that there would be a direct correlation on how long it is before you tell somebody that you're in a relationship as to how good looking that person is that you're talking to.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. 100%.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're interested and they're flirting with you and they're looking right. good, you're like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hold out on right. that information.
Even though you know it's not going anywhere, right. just to have that attraction at you.
The attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And the only time that you're going to reveal it in that situation is when they press you for the information. So are you seeing anyone? You're like, yeah. You know, or like, can I have your number? Maybe we'll go out sometime. And that's when you're like, well, actually, I'm involved.
But you know?
I hate to do this to you, but I'm happy.
But don't guys get angry, though, if they've spent 45 minutes, you know, talking to you and wasting their time just to find out that you're unavailable?
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be Probably. A time period where it's appropriate to say, because you can't say it, like, you can't walk right up and say you have a boyfriend, but you don't want to, like, waste their time for 45 minutes.
Well that's why you just make the engagement ring clear. Never mind.
I think there's also, you know, a way to do it that you don't have to say, okay, you know what? Stop talking to me. I have a boyfriend. Or, you mm-hmm. know, you can incorporate it in the conversation to where, like, oh, yeah, you know what? If you talk about a place or whatever, yeah, my boyfriend and I, da 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 da. You know, you don't have to be like rude and abrupt and like accuse them of getting, you know, like you can mention it within the conversation.
I think there's a natural we that you throw in there.
Mm-hmm.
And a dude is usually pretty good about picking up on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, as soon as you drop the we, or like Melissa said, my boyfriend and I did whatever, watch how quickly they walk
right,
away.
Right. That's it.
Watch how quickly that conversation right. is over.
But the problem is, the girls like the attention. I mean, 45 minutes is a long time.
It depends on the person.
Oh, I think this goes
both
ways,
too. And the correlation of the good-looking part.
Oh, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I think if you went 45 minutes, Tracy, part of you
yeah,
was
No,
was
that's a long time, Tracy.
I really was, yeah. I was kind of giving Maggie the look like, come on, let's go, hurry up, get the phone number. I wasn't really interested in the attention at that point.
I don't know what that time frame is. I really don't
45
know.
Minutes is
that's,
a long
that's
time.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
But I couldn't walk away because she obviously liked the guy that she was talking to, and I already have a boyfriend, so why am I going to ruin her game?
God, it's so intoxicating to get that kind of attention, though. You know it's coming to an end once you say, we. Two little words to screw it all up the next.
But if I said we, I just assumed that he would think I meant Maggie and I.
Well, I guess it depends in the context that you're saying it. If you say we, he's right. He's going to pretty much say, yeah. What do you mean by we?
There's a way to do it. I mean, yeah. There's a way to do it that you're not, you know, because I, yeah.
I think it's up to, it's also sort of funny when you do get engaged and get married and the guys don't notice the ring. Like, to me, that is like moron.
Oh, guys notice
idiot.
It.
No, I have I been don't. In the situation before where I was out with my girlfriend, Elena, and yeah. These two guys came up and were just, yet that, like, would not stop or whatever, and then were pressing us to go out with them further. And I was like, well, maybe you should look at my left hand before you continue pursuing. They're like, oh, what, does that mean you're too rich for us? Like, we're not rich. Like, the still didn't get it, even after, like, pointing out.
Does
like,
it matter
I
to some guys, though?
Wedding
I,
think,
I guarantee he knew what it meant.
Really?
Yeah.
I know I've talked to guys before and said that I had a boyfriend, and they're just like, so, you're not married. Right. You know, you can't talk to me because you're not married. Like, well, are you really even happy with your boyfriend? Like, they start pushing you. Like, maybe you're not so happy with your boyfriend, and...
I mean, you're at Smyrnabration. Why didn't you just point out and go, hey, you know what? Like, you know, use we. And then when he goes, you and Maggie go, no, see the guy over there? Well, he's not really a guy. He's the 6-foot-tall squirrel wearing the headset. Yeah. Yeah. That's my lucky man.
I did. In my defense, I did. I was very clear about the fact that I had a boyfriend because both Maggie and the guy she was talking to were like, dude, she said, like, clearly she had a boyfriend.
Well, there is a point where you can say it too soon and you seem arrogant. And,
right.
And that's why we sent Phil out yesterday, because if you're in the opening sentence and you already start telling somebody that you have a girlfriend or have a boyfriend, then it seems like, dude, I just started talking to you. And that's when we sent Phil Tirana out to do this very same thing yesterday.
And what would have it been funnier, Melissa, you would know, with the crowd of in Midtown, if you went to Piedmont Park and did it to guys?
Like, I have a girlfriend?
Boyfriend. The minute they open their mouth. Like,
well, I think it doesn't matter who you're saying it to. I mean, yeah. If you say it too soon to anybody, you're arrogant. Like, well, I wasn't trying to hit on you or anything.
like, what if you just are at Piedmont Park and a guy goes by on a bike and you yell it at him?
I
got a boyfriend! See you come around here! Leave me alone!
Well, I learned on this assignment that it actually almost kind of backfired on me because... It actually took me 2 days to record this, and I realized that every single girl I tried this on, they thought I was flirting with them, and they almost saw this as a pickup line.
Oh,
and so I had to
change
my game plan a little bit. So you're getting here in this first one. I walk up to the girl. I go to a mall, and I walk up to a girl, and first thing I say is, can you tell me what's on this sandwich? She starts telling me back. Boom. You'll hear it. You know, I've got a girlfriend. She starts giggling, and it's almost like a flirtatious giggle.
Because she thinks like you're just being cute about it, because obviously there's no come on. That's actually a really good
It's actually so, sort so of a good pickup
yeah.
line.
So
the Chick-fil-A girl at the mall food court almost mounted you.
Exactly. And that's actually the first clip I have. So here's me going to the mall and going to a, I don't even know what restaurant it is. It was just a food court restaurant that didn't have a big line. And so I just walk up and start talking to the girl and letting her know that I have a girlfriend.
Well, if it's a food court and you give Jeff longitude and latitude points, he could tell you what yeah. restaurant it is.
What mall was it?
Cumberland Mall.
All right. And
I ask about a barbecue sandwich.
Arby's.
How you doing? What all comes on the Wild West barbecue sandwich?
You get steak, onions.
No, I appreciate that. I have a girlfriend, but I do appreciate the advances. I was just curious what comes on the barbecue sandwich.
You mean like the extra?
No. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I have a girlfriend, so don't have to hit on me. What I need to know is what comes on the barbecue sandwich.
Steak, onions, cheese. Shredded cheese and barbecue sauce.
Again, flattering. I do appreciate it. Very flattering. But I'm in a relationship, but I do appreciate it, though. Could I get it without the cheese?
Yeah.
Okay, can I also get it without the advances?
Yeah.
And then the flirtatious remarks? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you go. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
If I'm a guy and I'm listening to this, I'm trying this.
Yeah, that's
this
a good
weekend.
Line. Uh-huh.
And she was all smiles the whole time. And she was all smiles. And I almost thought to slip her my number.
Was there a number on your ketchup pack?
I almost, when she was handing me the check, I even said, and you didn't hear this, I said, I didn't write my number on here. And she just giggled the whole time.
It's a great pickup.
It sort of is. For a guy, I think.
Yeah.
So I had to change up my game plan a little bit. And so every woman that I tried this on, it was pretty much the same way. They thought I was hitting on them. So I thought, what happens if you go up to a group of guys and let them know that I think they're hitting on me and tell the guys repeatedly, guys, fellas, I have a girlfriend. So this is actually a montage of two of them right here. A group of guys. You know how you walk around specific cell phone places and they will pull you in the kiosk. And these guys are like, hey, 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 come here, and I saw the concern on Jeff's face. I bleeped out any mention of what cell phone company it was. But
no, my concern was just that you've been, you know, single for a few weeks now and you might start experimenting with people who are interested in you.
So you'll hear that. You'll hear that. And then the last one I go to, which is in this montage, is there's nothing more fun to me than just getting free samples from the Happy China Walk 7 and getting the free samples and letting the ladies behind the counter know I have a girlfriend too. So this is me going to a cell phone place and then going to the Chinese restaurant.
No, I have a girlfriend. Thank you, though. I appreciate the offer. Oh. What's your best plan that you have going on right now?
$45.99, 1,000 minutes.
I'm in a relationship. I appreciate the offer, though, but I'm in a relationship. But if you have a really good plan going on, I might be interested in talking about that.
We're talking about $45.99, 1,000 minutes.
And I appreciate that. I'm not into that. I've got a girlfriend. Oh. But thank you, though. But I appreciate it. What's the most popular phone that you have?
The Razor.
How much does that one go for?
$245.
Again, flattering. Very flattering. I've never gotten hit on by buying a phone. I appreciate that.
Fill this application.
The application? No, I don't want to give you my number. Again, it's not my thing.
What?
But I appreciate it, though. But I have a girlfriend. But if you're that, that's cool. It's none of my business. Whatever way y'all swing, it's none of my business.
I have a wife, so
oh, cool.
I look at you like that.
That's cool.
You're not my style.
That's fine. I was just thinking about switching phone services, but
you said fill that out. You can switch the phone.
Well, that's the thing. I don't want to give out my number. It's cool though. I appreciate it, guys. I really do.
I love you.
What is this? No, I have a girlfriend. But what is this? I'm in a relationship, but what is that one?
Chicken teriyaki.
Teriyaki? Okay, I'll try that. What's the combo come with? I'm almost married. I've got a girlfriend. But thank you, though. And this is what?
Sesame.
Right, no, I'm in love. I think she's the one. But this is what?
Sesame.
Nah, thank you. I appreciate it. Very flattering. How many vegetables come in the mixed vegetables? No, I'm a boxer's man, but thank you, though. And what's all in the Tokyo Bowl?
Chicken teriyaki.
No, I do think we are going to move in together. That's a good possibility, but thank you. Well, thank you for the advances. Have a good day.
She have any idea what you were doing?
She just kept there with a toothpick in front of my face the entire time.
Going back to the guy. I just loved how he said, well, you know what, dude, I got a wife. So, I mean, the fact that he ended up having to defend himself.
So, if anything, if there's, you know, I actually might use this to my advantage. The way to make women, you know, giggle at you is to remind them that you have a girlfriend. They all thought it, and that wasn't the only girl. That was just the best audio I got from it, because this took 2 days, and every girl I went to, they just kind of smiled and giggled and laughed.
If I'm a single guy, I am trying that this weekend.
That is so funny how it turned out that way.
Good job, dude.
You're cute. You're funny. You're a funny guy.
Hey, The Bird Show. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.